And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Through the words of the Gospel, may our sins be wiped away. Brothers and sisters, in September 1993, my Franciscan province sent me from here, from Medjugorje, to Zagreb. In Zagreb, in a part of the city called Črnomerac, I lived with students, and in that part of the city, there was one Greek Catholic little Greek Catholic church. The priest of that church, little church, when he heard that I came from Medjugorje, he invited me one evening to come to their community and tell them something about Medjugorje. It was Wednesday night. That little church was filled with people. There was about 100 of them. About 45 minutes I spent with them talking, and I told them about Medjugorje, about happenings here since 1981, about happenings 1991, 92, and 93, since I left this place. I spoke about Apparition Hill, about Cross Mountain, about Eucharist, about Confession, about communities that were born in Medjugorje, about visionaries. And when I finished, after 45 minutes, they had a possibility to ask me some questions. One lady from the first pew, she raised her hand and she first asked, "Father, what you nicely told us about Medjugorje, that is what we all know, whether because we were there on a pilgrimage, whether maybe we read something about it in media. We are not interested in information so much, the knowledge about Medjugorje. Here tonight we are interested in, and that is why we invited you. What do you personally say What is your personal experience? We desire to hear your experience. Brothers and sisters, the central question of the gospel tonight that Jesus asked from his apostles is, and who do you say that I am? That question Jesus is asking tonight from me and from you, to everyone, from every one of us personally, as he asked this question to Peter and to the rest of his disciples. He's expecting from us tonight as well an answer. In Catechism of our church, it says, who confesses that God exists, that is a great step in his life. Brothers and sisters, we also may know much, a lot about God, but if we confess that God is, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, then everything is different in our lives. Let us try tonight to go shortly through life a few steps of Peter's living while what he confessed in the gospel tonight, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some steps of St. Peter, of his experience, that we may see ourselves personally and to be able to answer to Christ to this question. Peter was an ordinary person, ordinary believer, an ordinary Jew, a man who lived by fishing. Every single day on the Lake of Gennesaret, he depended on what he will catch for him and his family to survive. He cared for his family. He was a devout person, without big religious problems. He believed as every his neighbor and as every man, Jew of his time. He believed that God is, that God is almighty, that God is invisible, and the one who sees God has to die. On a regular basis, Peter went to synagogue, which is close to his home. On a regular basis, on Saturday, he respected the day of rest, and he did his prayers. An ordinary man and faithful, without big questions and problems. But beside this knowledge about God, Peter knew for sure to confess everything about God, God who saved his people from slavery in Egypt, who took him through the desert, and how he made covenant with him on Sinai, how that God spoke to the through the prophets. Peter knew that he was able to say all of this on the Passover. However, even he was hurted. He was an ordinary man, but he couldn't understand why God was quiet, why God did not speak in his time, why God was present only in the history of his people and showed himself powerful, mighty, the one who saves, who talks through prophets. And in his time, God was quiet. Brothers and sisters, we can also read our own life. Maybe we also know about God a lot. We are capable to speak, to talk, and to fulfill, observe everything that we are supposed to observe. And maybe we also have these big questions. Is God quiet in our life? Is God quiet in the sufferings of the world? For sure, he asked himself about the meaning, about why God was not talking when his people at that time was occupied by Romans. Young people were being killed, and thousands of questions that a person maybe did not articulate, maybe did not clearly or loudly was allowed to say, but somewhere deep in his soul, those questions always existed, and they exist in every single person. Sometimes there are no answers to these questions. That is Peter's first experience, and such experience, evangelist Mark says, that Jesus passed by Lake of Gennesaret, and he saw that when just fishing was finished by Peter and his son, and he invited them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Brothers and sisters, it is hard for us to discover, to have experience of what happened in, what all happened in Peter, that now immediately some man comes, man that he maybe heard about, and he invites Peter, and in this short sentence he gives him a new mission, and he invites him to come after him. "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Maybe this sentence and this meeting with Jesus open to him a new perspective, a new hope, a new meaning in life, from ordinary life and ordinary living, day by day, now one new hope, one new call, and a new meaning in life. Peter accepted Jesus' call, and he set out after him, although for sure he had thousands of questions. He didn't know everything about Jesus, but most likely he recognized a safety, a new hope in his life, in Jesus' voice, in Jesus' face. And he set out searching for a new meaning of his living, for a new mission in his life. Now we have second step. Mark in the third chapter of his gospel, it says, Mark, Jesus, in the big group that he preached to, he invited the 12 of them a little closer to them. But among those 12, he, in the first place, is Peter, Simon. Now, Peter is coming closer to Jesus, and he feels that Jesus loves him, that he desires family relations with him, that he desires this community of the 12 disciples, apostles, to be a new family that Jesus will teach, to whom Jesus will be teacher. Most likely he felt deeply in his heart a new call, a nearness, a new hope, even closer in his own life. Brothers and sisters, but Jesus, I'm walking, I'm listening. He was listening to Beatitudes, the talk on the hillside. He learned Our Father prayer. He was listening to Jesus' teaching. He was a witness of Jesus' healings, and he followed him throughout the country. And we are in the third step in today's gospel, when he took them to pagan shrine in the Caesarea Philippi, where there was a spring where people were going on a pilgrimage, but they were looking for the meaning in their life. Jesus took them, as the evangelist says, he took them there, and he stopped and he said, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Then they say that, some say that he's the John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. The knowledge they heard, they got from other people. However, the central question of the gospel is, "And what do you say who I am?" Peter, as evangelist wrote, said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." From an ordinary person, faithful, up to this confession that in Jesus he recognized God's strength, God's presence, God in the face of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, we have seen only shortly the growth of faith, the spiritual walk, maturing of Peter, from those questions, "Why is God quiet?" up to this one that in Christ's voice and in his image and his works is capable to see God's presence. We are celebrating apostles Peter and Paul to see their experiences. Why? Church positioned them so highly because Christ put them as a foundation of the church, but also to us to be able to answer to the question, who is Christ for us? Is God quiet in our life? As as Peter thought that he was quiet in his life, or is he speaking? Can we recognize him in Christ? Do we recognize him in the Eucharist? Do we recognize him in sacraments? Do we see in his face God's presence in our life? Brothers and sisters, that is the most personal question that is always asked, as Jesus asked from Peter and apostles, is asking from us tonight as well. Celebrating of this feast is having the purpose that so that reflecting on Peter and Paul, we may also see our own step, our own walk after Jesus. Peter could confess this after experience, after walking, after school with Jesus. Even this, your pilgrimage here in Medjugorje, in a certain way is a school of our experience, of our going through these three steps that we desire shortly to show through maturing of St. Peter when he confessed, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Peter could even die. He could become martyr, because it was a new step in his life. That God spoke to him, he met him personally in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I desire that even your pilgrimage and our prayers tonight may help us to recognize Christ, that we may, same as Peter, confess and say, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." When a person confesses this, not as a knowledge, but as an answer, not as an answer of catechism, but as a life attitude and the experience of life, for sure then man becomes a new man. There is a great danger, as late Cardinal Martini said, great Archbishop from Milan, that if we hear the voice of a devil which says to us that we are ordinary, that we cannot, that we are not capable to do some things, and that the meeting with Christ is secured for some other people, for those who are privileged, great, that it is not for us. And then that we should remain in our silence, in our questions, without steps and steps forward. That is not for us, that is not something that we can do. Brothers and sisters, may this example of St. Peter and his life be an incentive to us, and send it to us that this question is exactly for us, and that Christ died for us, and that is what Peter experienced, that he loves him, that he died for him. He would like us, from us as well, to come back from the church with a new experience of God's love towards every one of us, and towards every single person and every single woman in the world. No one, from Christ's love, Christ's suffering, Christ's death, and Christ's resurrection, is not excluded. And let us not permit, therefore, to be excluded by someone else, Satan, or that we exclude ourselves. Paul's life is similar, just shortly. The experience of entering into Damascus, when he recognized, when he heard his voice, the risen Christ, that he was persecuting. Personal experience changes his life. From that moment on, he knew what he was supposed to do, what was his mission, what he was supposed to do. He ended, and he could end it as a martyr. May this gospel and these reflections on these two apostles, who are foundations for the basis of our church, may help us also that in our depth we may respond to this question, "Who is Christ for me?" Praise be Jesus and Mary.